Amen. Now, what she said is pretty much the essence of what our message is about today. So that's a blessing. That lets you know you're on target when you hear something like that. Amen. And you find that it lines right up with what your plans were for the day. We have not talked about any of this. So it's just a blessing and blesses my soul. I want to thank all of you for a wonderful Father's Day celebration on behalf of all the fathers and men here at St. Timothy. Amen. We want to thank all the ladies for everything you've done and your expressions of love and kindness. Amen. And we really thank you so much.
Yes,
words really cannot express it.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We want to thank God for the visitors who have come to be with us today. Amen. We know some of you have traveled from good distances to be here, and we thank God for you.
Amen.
And we just love God and thank Him for all of you.
Oh, yes.
And we pray you are enjoying your time here with us today.
Yes.
Amen. So we're not going to delay the time. Let's go ahead and get into the Word, and I'll express a few more things as we take up our text. Let's read today for Numbers, the Psalms, from Psalm 78, just a few verses here. And from the New Testament, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. If you have a handout, you can read along with me or open your Bible to Psalm 78, 1 to 6. And New Testament scripture is Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Let's read Psalm 78 and 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old,
which we have heard and known,
and our fathers have told us,
which hide from the children, showing the generations to come
the praises of the Lord
and His strength and His
wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Amen. Old covenant text to the people of God. Now for the New Testament.
Therefore,
pray ye, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And I want to talk just a brief while here from Father to Father.
All right.
Amen. From Father to Father.
Yeah.
Amen. And we just thank God for all that we have heard today. And I think you have heard the gist of this message in Sister Sam's presentation, because you don't just have to be an earthly father, although that was God's design. When you take a look at how the world came to be, when God had made Adam, He said, let us make man after our image. The first thing He did for man was to create him in His own image. Now that was a spiritual image, because the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. See, so the composition of man that God made was a spiritual image when He said, let us make God in our image. Notice it was also a plural image. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness.
Amen.
See, because God has always had the, let's say that you speak of God in the plural, the Hebrew Elohim, anything ending with the I-M in the Hebrew is automatically plural. So I'm not trying to give you a Hebrew lesson this morning, but Elohim is a plural word, and that's the word translated, one word is translated God in the Old Testament. Let us make man in our, that's why it's correct to use the term our when we speak of a pronoun pertaining to God, in our image, and after our likeness. what we would call that is the doctrine of the Trinity.
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then he gave him dominion over everything he made. But you know, when he formed Adam, the Bible says, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now God attached to his spiritual image a physical body and breathed that into the body of Adam, and he became a living soul. Now, you know, men cannot make souls. Did you know that? That's why we call it procreation when a man begets a child. Because it's not just a man and the woman who are involved, but God is involved. Because God provides the soul to each one, as the man and the woman provide characteristics from both the female side, or the maternal DNA, as they like to say these days, and from the man himself making up. We just discovered this stuff about DNA and all that in recent times, but God knew about it before he made any of it, you see. And so he already knew that already. So we're learning stuff recent times that God already knew, and it's written in the Bible.
Yeah.
So we don't ever have to distrust the Bible. So in other words, it was his design that one man would beget another and give birth to sons and daughters to perpetuate the human family as we see it here today. Now, we know in recent times people have tried to kick God out of the picture and say that there's evolution. And I always say it's devolution, first of all. And secondly, I like to ask people, who do you know that was not born? I don't know anybody that was not born. Everybody I've ever seen in my lifetime has been born. You know, and I don't know if you've ever seen any of that came another way. I never have. You know, my granddad told me he never had. He was 82 when I was 10 or 9, something like that. See, so I don't believe it ever happened. And so the reason you can't prove evolution is because it didn't happen. I haven't seen any monkeys go through a fit. Next thing you know, they look like a man. I haven't seen that. And I don't think you have to worry about ever seeing that. So God gave procreation to man to pass on. And he said, you know why he did? Another reason is to keep himself in the truth. He said, because he told Adam to be fruitful and multiply. See, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish and populate the earth. Because he wanted there to be lots of sons and daughters. You see what I'm saying? So we're looking at the father aspect of this today. So I want you to see that even from the very beginning, God showed forth grace and mercy. Because when Adam and Eve had children, remember the first two that the Bible mentions are Cain and Abel. We find that Cain slew Abel. And the righteous one who did what God said and worshiped him properly was the one that got taken out. But God extended mercy to the unrighteous from the very beginning. So God has always been being merciful to mankind ever since the beginning. And he took it upon himself to minister to the one who was the most unrighteous of the two. And so he continues to do that all the way up to today. No matter who you are and what you're involved in, what you have ever done, you need to know God loves you exactly the way you are. But you know what? He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. When you start up a proper relationship with God, he's going to change the way you are and make you better than you are. And he always does that. And so it's about relationship that we're talking about here. So what I want you to see here, now the psalmist here, who is Asaph, that writes Psalm number 78, says, give ear, O my people, in other words, those who believe in the Lord, to my law. That's his word, those things that he has set that cannot be altered. Do you know God's law can't be altered? It can be broken, but it cannot be altered. It's just as immutable as God himself. It cannot be changed. He says, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And you might as well, because that's going to be the way it is when it boils down. Because he is God, and what he says goes. And so that's that, let's call it our Heavenly Father perspective, that he speaks with authority and he speaks with power. So give ear, O my people. That's those who trust and believe in me. And there's always been that choice in all of time to either believe God or not. And you either do or you don't here today. You believe God or you don't. Okay? And so he says, but he commends and calls out to us, give ear. Oh, my people, that means listen. Listen up, we would say today. To my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. So a parable is a way that God lays one truth alongside another to get a point across to us. That's what parabole means, is to lay alongside. So he'll tell you one thing, and by telling you that thing, you'll understand another thing. But you have to be listening. If you're not listening to God, it'll go right over your head and you'll miss it. So the parable does that. It either teaches you something or it goes over your head and you get nothing. So that's why he pleads with the reader to open your ear and listen to my law carefully. And I'm going to open my mouth and continue to speak to you supernatural things that you would not otherwise be able to understand. That's what this, I will utter dark sayings of old. Stuff that people have sometimes said, oh, that doesn't make sense. Well, if you don't believe God, guess what? It won't make any sense to you. Right over your head. And so he says, listen up and I'm going to teach you. If you believe me, you can trust that I will teach you those things that would otherwise be a mystery to you, which ye have heard. Now, where did you hear it from? You heard it from your fathers or the previous generation. And our fathers have told us. It has been the primary responsibility of the father, even though we have a lot of neglect of that in our time. But you know what? There's always been that.
Always.
And I just want to say that back when Cain and Abel were there, they both heard what was right, what was wrong. One of them chose to do it. The other one said, man, I'm not with that. All the way from the beginning. And he slew the one who believed. That's the way that was. So we've been having that, parents burying their sons all the way from Adam and Eve. That's not anything new. We think it is. You know, it seems more, it's more painful when it's your generation where it's happening. But it's been going on all the time. You know, and when you think about it, God dealt with the one who was the bad one that didn't believe him. And he kept showing him mercy and kept on allowing him to multiply and continue to produce because he told them to be fruitful and multiply. But it's better if you get on the right side of God. It's much better for me and you if we get on God's side. Listen to what he says. Start to learn what he says. Care about what he says enough that I want to know what you said. You know what? Because I want the best blessing I can get in life. When the Father's speaking, I want to know, what is he saying? Now, and many times we hear what the Father's saying and we just skip it for other reasons because we have a resistance built into us ever since Adam sinned to have a proclivity against God. That's a terrible thing. What's the best answer and the best solution for that problem? Start listening to God. Even if you're not ready to do what he said, listen to what he said. Connect with what he's saying. Be taught what he says. Learn it. This is very important. And realize that I'd rather be on the side of his blessing and his grace than to be on the side of his judgment. You know? Because if I listen to him, I'm going to learn something. And you know what? He will give me power over the stuff that's not right, that's not according to his word. And you know what? He's gracious like that, and he's merciful because he loves you. And you know what? The reason he does that is that he never changes. When God made Adam, he loved him. That's why he made him in his own image and after his own likeness. So when Adam changed, God never changed. He loved him still. He loved his descendants and he told them to be fruitful and multiply. That means I promise a blessing extended to even 1,000 generations. It's as many as generations as there will be. God's love has not and will not change. So it's a good thing to say I want to be in sync with God's love instead of being in opposition to God's love. Because his love's not going to change. But you know what? Love also requires discipline, as we have heard. Sam mentioned that in her presentation today. Good fathers want to discipline their children to get them to do the right thing. And so they will do that. So in other words, you can bring undesirable hardship in your life by continuing to ignore God. If you continue to ignore God, you are bringing hardship you really don't need, and you could escape some of that if you trust God. That's why the Bible says we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith believes what God says and it rushes to obey God, to do what God says. And even when we don't, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So God makes a way for you, and this is your heaven. Heavenly Father, and keep this in mind, most earthly fathers intend to do well. Sometimes they may not. And I know we all have probably had different mixed types of relationships with our human fathers. Yeah. But as Sam said, I love the way she put it together, God has a way of getting to you through someone else to give you what you need. No matter what kind of father you had. Even if you never knew your father. You know, God has a way of using someone else to bring them into your life who is a spiritual child of his to speak into your life what you need. And he will supply, he said, what? All you need. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He said in Romans 8:28, y'all know that one, right? That we know that he works all things together for good to them who love God. See, and those who are the called according to his purpose. So God will bring a person into your life, a spiritual father or mentor, to fill in something that you need, even if your earthly father is not about all that. You see, so God has a way to do that, and we heard some good things on that today. So the psalmist just talks about the way it is and the way God set it up. Here in Psalm 78, he goes on to say that verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. That's the way the knowledge of God is passed down through the generations. Let's say in a normal situation is the father is the trainer. Sometimes you say, well, that didn't happen to me. I got skipped on that one. But God has another way to come around the corner from somewhere else with someone else who will fill in that which you need. And so he's always done that throughout the years. So Cain didn't do what was right, not because he was not taught right, but because he personally chose not to do what was right. He chose to defy God. God said, well, you know what? You can still do right, Cain. Even though you did wrong, he gave him another chance. And Cain said, oh, my punishment is too great for me. And he began to complain about what God had promised to provide. And so here we see this is the normal flow of life. And we would say this would be from Father. And that the psalmist shows us here that he said, we will not hide the knowledge of God from their children. See that? Showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. See, you know what? All you have to do is look anywhere. You want to know how wonderful the works are that God did? Look at anything. Anywhere. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. See, you can look at anything. You can tell that he's awesome by looking at what he made. You know, I'm amazed at grass. I don't know. I'm not the kind you smoke, but the kind that grows. You see what I'm saying? Grass is an amazing thing. You know, grass has a very short life cycle. Somebody says it's sown, grown, mown, and gone. But it keeps coming back. It knows when to quit. In the winter, it doesn't grow anymore until it's time for it to grow again. And it's got a lot of sense to be just some little grass, doesn't it? And then next thing you know, in the spring, when the rains come, boom, there it is. Wow, time to cut the grass. But that grass has some knowledge built into it. It's amazing that grass and things that God made already know what to do, and they stay in their place. I'm amazed at birds. I don't know if you pay much attention to birds. You know what? I think modern people don't really give as much attention to those kind of things as we used to. We have our heads so much stuck in computers and iPads and in our phones. We're all addicted to devices that we made. And we miss some of the beautiful things all around us. And there's a lot of stuff people used to know just by looking at the birds and different things of that sort. And there's a lot of knowledge and wisdom in the things that God has made. And so we miss a lot of that sometimes because we're too hung up in modern things. And you know what? All we have to do is pull the plug and all that stuff will fail. You know, and then you won't even know what to do. I can't even know how to get over to so-and-so's house because my navigation is not there. You know, we'll be messed up, you know, if the batteries die. You see what I'm saying? So we want to be tuned in to God because God can give you spiritual birth, and that's even better than physical birth in some sense, in the sense that it also teaches you stuff that you wouldn't otherwise get. God knows more than my father. I love my father. He was a very wise man, taught me a lot of stuff, you know, but God has taught me more. Truth be told, no discredit to my father. It's that my heavenly father knows more than my earthly father. See, but my father did tell me, he pointed me toward the one who knew everything. So I could continue to grow and attain more knowledge and understanding in the world. So that's why we call this message From Father to Father. Because Father God loves you even more than your earthly father, no matter what kind of relationship you may have had with him. Now notice what the psalmist says one more time here in Psalm 78. It says, number 4, we will not hide them from their children. That's another generation, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and the wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob. Now Jacob is the covenant people. That's where they start after 3 generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which is who Jacob became after he began to walk with God. See, so Jacob had his earthly birth from Isaac, but he had a spiritual birth from God. And he became known as Israel. See, when he got his account straight with God. See, so you can have an earthly father, so we come from one father and get transferred to another if we're doing it right in this life. And he appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. Pass it on from one generation to the next. Now you know what? It doesn't have to be, as we've heard already today, a physical father. You can be mentored by someone else that's not your father physically at all. And God will use multiple people to feed into your life the stuff that you need in order to become the man or woman that God has called you to be. And he'll also teach you to sow into the lives of others that are yet to come. So there's a perpetual thing in knowing the knowledge of God. And verse 6 in Psalm 78 says that that generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. See that? So this generational thing, passing the knowledge from generation to generation, is what God has always intended. So I want you to understand that the knowledge of God is the most important information that there is to know, and the passing on of the correct information about God has been the duty of the fathers throughout all of time, from Adam up to this very day, up till today. Along with that, responsibility / accountability has been upon every successive generation, as stated by the psalmist Asaph, along with the assistance and grace of God. God's grace has been intermingled with that throughout the ages.
Yes.
And so this is a very important thing. Regardless of our personal status with our own father, our earthly father, whether good or bad, ugly, or even non-existent, somebody will say, oh, I don't even know who my father is. Well, that's not going to stop you from being connected to the Most High God, because you can move from that father. You know, one thing you know, he did get you here. You know, he got you here because you're here. And now we can turn you over to the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James says. You see, and you can be turned over to him and not have to worry about that kind of thing at all. So don't put yourself down regardless of how you have come here to hear this word today from the Lord. God himself has provided a parental presence, that's what I would like to call it, for each individual, offering an opportunity to everyone to come closer to him and be taught his word while being under the covering of his common grace, which he displays openly from day to day. You know what? That's why you hear about all the reckless behavior in the world, you wonder, well, where is God when this stuff is happening? The answer is, he's right there. He's on the spot. He's on the scene. See, it's not his desire that people do these things that they do, but he covers us with an inestimable amount of grace. It doesn't mean just because I trust God that I won't have trouble. See, trouble will always come. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. See, I can give you good cheer in the midst of your tribulation. But tribulation, Paul said to the Romans, worketh patience. God has to teach us patience, because so many times we get misprogrammed with worldly stuff. And the connectivity that we have to God on these things is what Jesus teaches us here, and we'll move to the New Testament, then we can wrap this up. He says here in Matthew 6, now all of you know this, it's one of the most familiar sections of the New Testament. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. In other words, all y'all, that's why I like this King James, that ye means all y'all. Pray. right. And what do? You talk to your heavenly Father, our Father, which art in heaven. See that?
Yes.
Hallow his name. Realize his awesomeness, as we said earlier when we sang that song. Put him in the right place, the right perspective. Hold him in the highest esteem of any other thing or being or place or person or situation. Love God. Revere him. See, fear him. People try to reduce fear him to something other than fear. And you know what? God is so awesome. One pastor said he is a terrible God. That's because he is. He's not like anything else. Doesn't mean he's bad. It means he's so awesome and so far behind your understanding that you ought to fear him. You ought to shake in your boots when you think about the massive, nice, and graciousness of the Most High God, who had the wisdom and the power to make everything.
Amen.
That's something you ought to tremble about.
All right.
I think people have too flip of the turn of an understanding of who God is. My big heavenly Father sitting in a big chair. No. He is a God that fills all the heavens and the earth. He is an awesome God, as we sang in that song. So he says, hallow his name. Thy kingdom come. Think about this. God plans to have an eternal kingdom that will never be touched and infected with sin again. That's awesome, isn't it? We can't really even imagine it. We've been so encrusted with sin in this world, we can't even really imagine how the kingdom will be. But Jesus said, pray that his kingdom will come. That his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. In other words, don't get so hung up on the material stuff in the world. Trust God every day you wake up. How many days have you woke up and he didn't give you what you need? I can't say I ever woke up and didn't have what I needed. I might have had zero in my bank account, but God saw a way for me to get what I needed. And as y'all see, I haven't lost much weight. So he put some bread on your table. He can put some meat in your freezer. He knows how to handle all that kind of thing. But just trust him from day to day. I don't need to, and it's okay to save and all that. You know what? If you are investing in the kingdom, stack up as much as you can get. And invest it in the kingdom so it can have some internal and eternal benefits for you in your life. Big dividends right now, Brother John. Come on now. So it's all right. God is the one that owns it all. So it's not about so much what I have or all of that. He always makes sure you have what you need. So he said, give us this day. Just, in other words, hold on to everything loosely, but hold on to God with all your might. See, hold on to him tight. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ought to be the most forgiving people that you can ever find. The church, sometimes we kind of get hard on folks that don't know the Lord. Well, don't do that. Be forgiving. Be like Jesus. They said, oh, you know, your master hangs out with sinners and publicans. That's what the folks thought they was holy seeing. You know, he said, well, you know what? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, y'all think y'all all that, but these people need help. He said, them that are well don't need a physician, but they who are sick. You see what I'm saying? So he went to the sick and the mauled and the maimed and the rejected. And he went to places that no one else would go. And the religious folk who thought they was all so holy said, oh, look at her, who he's hanging out with. You know, and Jesus might have said, hey, did you ever read your Bible? You ever hear of Rahab? You ever hear of some of these other folks? There's so many folks. Did you hear of David? Not so much Rahab. We're going to talk about somebody who has some skeletons in their closet. Did you hear of David? I think he might be worse than Rahab if you really read up on it. Take a minute and read 2 Samuel 5, 6, and 7 if you want to. You see, David is a character. I mean, he really is. Not to mention Psalm 51 and the whole deal with Bathsheba. We'll leave that alone. That's another message for another day. But God always has to work with the wrecked and the reckless. Because that's all there is. There isn't anything else. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got problems. Everybody is hypocritical in some way or another. Nobody is perfect. Everybody's dealing with is defective, always has been. All the way. away from the garden. So Jesus said, pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. We have to ask God, strengthen me so I don't keep on going down the dark road. Put my eyes on the straight and narrow. Keep my feet on the right path so I can grow up in you and do stuff that honors you and gives you glory. See, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I just want you to understand, you can have this message from father to father is a great message, because the Heavenly Father loves you just like you are. Jesus taught his disciples to call upon God the Father in daily prayer and to acknowledge him being thankful and forgiving of others while looking in the present for the spiritual power to live right, and looking ahead by faith to the coming of his kingdom. That's what we have to do, in which righteousness will be exalted once and for all, and even forever, because of the perfect work of God's only begotten Son, Jesus the Messiah, and his provision of the only perfect sacrifice required by his Father to be applied to each of us who believe in him and his resurrection.
Amen.
That's what life is about.
Yes.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God gave his Son, and you know what? He is the most famous individual in the history of humanity.
Amen.
You won't hear that on CNN, but you will hear it in St. Timothy. You will hear it here. You know what? CNN won't say it. They're too proud. Too arrogant. They want to try to give equal place to all kinds of abomination that are against God. But the calendar is preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you who the Lord is. It's 2019 everywhere around the planet. Not just in St. Louis. Not just in New York or California. But in Thailand, Japan, anywhere you name. And that's based on the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. No one else. And you know why he's so famous? Because God made it that way. He has made him that knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, he loves you just like you are. And you know, I don't see any reason. I'm just going to say this, and then we can open the door of the church here. The door is always open. We'll let you know. But I don't see any reason why you wouldn't trust Christ right now.
Amen.
What reason could there be that makes any sense why I wouldn't want to publicly claim Jesus to be my Savior and my Lord? What makes any sense at all? Nothing does. You know what Jesus said? There's two ways you can go. Those who are not with me or against me.
Amen.
He narrowed it down. I don't want you to be confused. The devil is the one with 49 so-called religions. You know, there's folk who call themselves atheism, and they say that's a religion. The thing is, anything except being with Christ is the false religion of the devil. I don't care what you call it. Call it what you want. Somebody says, oh, Pastor, that's politically incorrect. Yes, it is. But it's biblically correct. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4 and 5, if you want to look it up. Jesus said, Matthew 12 and 30, he who is not with me is against me. You're either with him or you're against him. Somebody said, oh, I'm on the fence. No, you're against him. If you're not with him, you're against him. You either believe him and you're gathering with me, or you're scattering abroad. You're doing one of the two. And the question is, which are you doing? Do you want to go from your earthly father to your heavenly father? If you do, he's ready to receive you right now. He loves you just like you are. You haven't done anything for which he is not willing to forgive you 100%. And he gave his Son in order to make it so. And the only thing stopping you from having it is you won't say yes to Jesus. That's the only thing stopping you from being saved. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. God paid his only begotten Son, his most precious possession. His own Son came out of eternity face to face with the Father, seated on the throne, equal with God. You know what? He didn't have any worries, no troubles. And he said, Father, because of the sin of Adam, I'll go down and give myself so that whoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life. See, I will taste death for every one of them. Give my life as a ransom for many. And he did it for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul says in Romans 1:16. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. To the Jew first. That's because he came to them first. But also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You either believe him and you're with him or you're against him. Which one are you? Ask yourself the question today. Where do I stand? Am I with Christ or am I against him? If you're ashamed to own me, he said, before man, I will also be ashamed to own you before my Father. You know, that's the one thing I know I need. When I go before the Father, you never know when that'll be. It'll be a split second. You're here today, gone tomorrow, and then you'll be in his presence. What you gonna tell him? Lord, you won't be able to tell him anything because he already knows everything. But did I say I trust your son? Right now, while the blood is running warm in my veins, I believe in you, I trust you, I want to be saved. It's a decision you have to make in life. Otherwise, you have already made a decision. When you say, when you don't say yes to Jesus, your answer is no. No matter what you think about it. Folks say, I'm on the fence. You're not on no fence. You're outside the kingdom. You're outside the kingdom and you're without Christ. Or you're willing to confess him in the public. See, and that's why the ordinance of baptism is important. And we have one candidate for baptism already signed up. It's time for you to get on board. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're not sure of it, make it sure today. Make your calling and your election sure, the Bible says. I am not ashamed of Christ. You know, I have to say I love him right now. I confess him publicly right now. Amen. And so if you're here, you can come at this time if you have not been saved. If you are saved and you're looking for a good church home, we're here for that also today. We'd like to invite you to come. St. Timothy is on the move for Jesus. And today is a good day to be saved. You can say, I went from father to father, all father to father. I got released from my earthly father and turned over to my heavenly father. On Father's Day. Now, I told y'all back on Mother's Day, it was Mother's Day when I walked the aisle and said, I'm coming to Jesus right now. However I am, I'm coming. See? So you are able to come at this time. Let us sing a song as we open the doors, give an invitation for membership, accepting a member by letter or by candidate for baptism, amen, or Christian experience. Amen. We want to thank Brother and Sister Perry and family for coming to worship with us today. Amen, amen. Amen. We thank God for your presence. Amen. You continue to be in our prayers. Amen. Deacon Perry had a great impact on this church. Amen. Awesome representative of God. Amen. Amen. But we want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today, come right now. Don't be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to hang stripped of all of his clothes, his garments. They show a little thing all the time when you see pictures of a crucifix with him covered over. But that really is not the way it was. The Bible says they gambled for his clothes. He was stripped naked and hung high on the cross. Died there for your sins and mine. Hung there until he had fulfilled every word the prophets had spoken. Until he could say, it is finished. It is finished. People looking around, what's finished? Everything God said, everything he promised that I had to fulfill in order to save you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He hung and bled and died until he fulfilled everything necessary to satisfy the Father for you and for me. And then when he was done, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. You know why? Because they had done all that and he had not died. And the only reason he died is he chose to die for you and for me. That's why he had to tell his spirit, okay, we're done. You can go now. Go to the Father. Nobody dies like that except him. The only one who could say, okay, it's time. Go ahead and go, spirit. We're done. And he gave up the ghost, the Bible says. And then, of course, the Romans had to be sure because they came asking for the body. So they took the spear and pierced him through, right through the side. John said, I was there at the foot of the cross. And I saw blood and water run down. He saw it, so we know he was pierced all the way through. So even after he died, he was fulfilling the scripture. Wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, chastised for your peace, that by his stripes we are healed. Amen. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there's room. We hope that you got a blessing from his word today. Amen. And one more happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Amen.